This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, here we go. Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. We're flying along here on a Thursday with you, and it's time to talk some Stanley Cup finalists. The Stars fall 5-2 last night. It was tough to watch. Tough scene there. The Hockey Hawk, our program director here at The Fan and legit NHL expert, Gavin Spittle, joining us to talk about how they get back in this series now.
Stick tap, boys. Stick tap. Good to hear from you.
Good afternoon, sir. How the heck you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right. That was a, that was a tough one last night.
Yeah, as big fan, I know you are. How much does it take the wind out of your sails as far as believing that this team can bring home the cup?
I think you have to treat it as a game, but for the first time, I think you showed more of your mistakes, but it was also revealed how good Tampa really is. And the Stamkos into the lineup insertion, when he scored that goal, to watch the bench reaction said it all, how much he means to that room. And I just think that momentum and energy is all on their side right now. Even though they're only down by one game, the Stars are really up against it right now.
What are you hearing about Stamkos? Is he going to be back?
So he didn't play much after that. And he admitted afterwards he's not allowed to say how injured he is, but he's still banged up. Personally, on a back-to-back, I would be surprised to see him in both games. They might rest him tomorrow night and let him try to go again on Saturday. I think momentum-wise, it was a smart move by John Cooper, inserting him into the lineup. But I'm not sure how ready he's going to be go. We'll get the practice report, and then we'll look at the pregame skate tomorrow to get official word. But he's a difference maker when he's on the ice. We saw the speed is back. It's just, can he stay on the ice for a long period of time?
With the Stars and you have a back-to-back here, most teams won't go with the same goalie in a back-to-back. Will the Stars have any options there? I just couldn't imagine they're going to go to Ottinger.
I'm a big Jake Ottinger fan. I think he's the future. I think he's a terrific goalie.
So you don't like the way I said Ottinger?
No.
Like with no belief in my voice?
Well, listen, no belief is understandable right now because we haven't seen him in prime action. We've basically seen him in cleanup work. But this kid is going to be a good one. His rise is impressive. His college play was impressive. He was one of the better goalies in the American Hockey League. He is the future of the Dallas Stars in net. All that said, maybe Bishop can go. But I say, if you're Rick Bonus, you got to go Hudobin twice because they're going to go with Vasilevsky twice.
Yeah.
Vasilevsky has not rested at all. He's their man. And I think at this point, to stay in this series, you got to go with what got you here, and that's Anton Hudobin.
Can you explain why that's so exhausting? I mean, you're just standing there deflecting pucks. You're not even going fast.
Nah, you're doing a lot of side-to-side work, and those thighs get tired.
Okay.
It is a lot of work. It's exhausting. I understand what you're saying, General, but they do need rest. More during the regular season. I think at this point, now, they might be thinking Bishop might give you that lift, but from a player standpoint, do you have a lot of confidence in Ben Bishop right now between the pipes after what you saw the last time he played?
Has Radulov ever had a game where he didn't take a bad penalty?
So Alexander Radulov in his first 2 years with the Stars has been impressive. He had a very disappointing year, and I thought what you said earlier was brilliant. He has to learn that you are no longer allowed, per NHL rules, to use the stick as a slowdown device. It is amazing.
Or a catch-back-up device. Like, well, hold on, let me pull myself back.
Yeah, absolutely. And, referees see this throughout the year. So even if like Blake Coleman did grab that stick, which he did, and I thought maybe it should be matching penalties, but at the same time, if you do it all season and you're caught for it all season, they're going to be looking at it. Referees look for tendencies, and with Alexander Radulov, it's always behind the play that he's trying to hook somebody, and he got caught multiple times last night. I don't understand the lack of discipline. I understand he might be frustrated with the lack of scoring punch that that line has had, but you have to show discipline in the Stanley Cup.
Hawk, why is the Stars' power play look so disorganized? Even when they went on the jump, you know, to get it going there, they had a couple of opportunities. They're down. They never, ever, it never looked even organized at all, where Tampa's always looks organized.
Yeah, I think this goes back to the streakiness of the Dallas Stars, and they'll go a couple of games where the power play looks really good, but for the most part this year, I don't think the power play has looked organized. And I just wonder, you know, the Stars on the power play, especially with that first unit, are so intent in getting it to the point and either looking for a deflection or going to Sagan on the side in the slot. I just think that it's almost predictable. And there's nothing going on the other side. You rarely see shots from the other side unless Gurianov's on the ice.
Right.
So I think that's something they really need to work on in the offseason, some more creativity. And they are so, one of the things why this series has turned is similar to basketball, where you have your point guards, Haskinen and Klingberg are controlling the Stars. And Tampa has made it a point after game one to go after them, to slow them down, to try to exert their physicality on them. So they're hurting during the season, and hopefully they'll give up that puck a half a second early, which will cause a turnover.
Do you know, so Haskinen, he has a goal late. And before that, I believe he'd had 1 point in the prior four games. So it was a great postseason run. Do you take a lot out of in a 5-2 loss if you get a late goal there? Can that get you going? Or is it kind of like, well, it was too little, too late. That was kind of a whatever.
That's a great question, Jeff, and it actually can. I thought in game one in the third period was a great momentum grabber for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They caused the Stars to commit penalties. They scored, and they gained a lot of momentum heading into game two. I tweeted out last night, although it was a blowout, this is where the Stars can get back some of their momentum. And if you watch that third period, they actually did some good things. They caused Tampa to go in the box. They scored a goal, and they were much more aggressive, probably a little frustrated toward the end of the game with a cross-check by Joe Pavelski, Radulov going into the boards, almost hurting themselves. But you saw that aggression come back out, and that's what they need tomorrow night. They have to continue that physicality, aggression. They need to flip the ice. They need now to go after the Tampa Bay Lightning defensemen. They have to pin them in the zone. They have to make the Tampa forwards work to get out of the zone. And the best way to limit speed is to keep them in their zone, because they're so tired that all they can do is flip the puck into your zone, so they have to make a line change.
Our program director, Gavin Spittle, here at The Fan, is a hockey expert, and he joins us now to talk Stanley Cup Final. Okay, so how are your friends and season ticket holders and folks in the Stars online communities that you observe, how are they taking being in the final, but it's not, you know, May or June? We're here during Cowboy season, and I think it's robbing them of some of their attention, don't you think?
Yeah, it absolutely is. There, I will tell you personally, there's an emotional disconnect. Had the pleasure of being at the Western Conference Finals when the Stars played the Detroit Red Wings, back when the Detroit Red Wings were in the West. And before that, we saw that amazing overtime game with that Brendan Morrow goal. There was nothing like it. I mean, standing and just not sitting down because of multiple overtimes. You know, that's missing when it's on your TV, the roar of the crowd. And I really do think that the game last night, Tampa might have won it, but just think of the emotion as the Stars head back into the AAC. That barn would have been rocking. Stars fans deserve a lot of credit. When that place is packed, it's a rocking barn, all the way back to the Reunion Arena days. So you know, that's tough. And, you know, from an emotional standpoint, you definitely watch the games different. And I think a lot of Stars fans agree with me. You know, you're happy they're there. It's awesome. First time in 20 years. I think it's great for hockey in Texas. But at the same time, you know, you're missing out. Specifically, a lot of Stars fans like myself have already paid, like, I'm paying for my seats that I'm not in.
I don't know if they're going to be able to fairly compensate you for that unless you can, you know, get on another run like that. That's a tough blow to take. It's a kick in the gut, this virus has been. Okay, so what do you make of this morning news headline, the Stars' new identity that got them this far may now be their undoing? Do they need to switch it up and sort of risk it for the biscuit?
That's a great hockey. I love the biscuit term, Gavin.
Uh-huh.
I do think that they need to switch some things up. I think that they can utilize their speed to neutralize Tampa's speed. But it's all about zone time, like I said previously. They need to spend more time in Tampa's zone. I don't think Vasilevskiy looked sharp last night. Brian, yeah. You and I were talking about that. He was giving up some rebounds. Some of the things I'm
angles
not seeing.
They talk about.
Exactly.
Yeah, puck gets behind him, rolls off his back. Yeah. I mean, how does that happen?
You need to create havoc in front of Vasilevskiy. So that's something, Gavin, that they do need to switch up, because the loss of Radek Foxa is one of those big guys that could plant himself in front of the net. And that's not being talked about enough. Your checking line is basically your best defenders against those Tampa forwards. Two of the three are out right now. So they have a lot more room on the ice because those forwards are not around them, pushing them around. Blake Como is one of your better checkers. Radek Fox is good on the faceoff, but he also plants himself in front of the net. So you got to clog the net. You got to kind of make Vasilevskiy look around, and, you know, because he has made some great saves, but this is not, we're not seeing the Andre Vasilevskiy that was a Vezina finalist. So that, I think they got to get their defensemen back into the game. Jeff, you mentioned Miro Heiskanen. Tough to fault him because he's so young, but we need to see the Miro Heiskanen that we've seen throughout the playoffs. The guy that's aggressive with the puck. Right now, they're on their heels. They're trying to stop the forwards of Tampa. So they're busy doing that, and we have not seen that offensive production. They have one of the best offensive producing D-cores in the league. They need to get back to that.
Do they need to beat anybody up? Can we get Alexiak to beat somebody up, something to get us going? Because Gavin and Brian are ready to quit on this thing. They're terrified.
Yeah, I'm a 9 out of 10 on the concern scale.
I'm concerned too.
Yeah, I'm concerned as well, guys. You know, a fight could go either way. It could change the momentum. Yeah. I mean,
why not? What happens if you go to fight somebody because you need to change the momentum?
Yeah.
Right? Jamie's like, screw it. I'm going to fight this guy. I got to get
fight
this thing going, right? So
come
Jamie
back in
drops
game.
The gloves.
Just go right at him.
I'm asking a question.
And it's a great question. It's a great question, Jeff. Continue.
All right. What happens to the momentum you're trying to gain? Like you're down 2-0, the team's lax, and Jamie's like, screw it, I'll get us going. Drops the gloves, gets beat up. If you lose the fight that you instigated to create momentum, does it kill momentum?
No, not necessarily. No, not necessarily, because it riles the troops up. And I think right now, like, they need to be riled up. I don't think if you lose the fight, it necessarily decreases your momentum. Either way, I think you're gaining some momentum. But at the same time, Tampa has to take that fight. And if you're the Lightning, if you're Patrick Maroon, do you want to fight right now?
Well, it's an easy win in the fight if they don't take it. You know, you just keep swinging.
Well, I mean, but then you're more time in the penalty box.
Yeah.
we've been trying to rough them up, and we find a lot of time in the sin bin, unfortunately.
You know, Balboa would often get a mental edge, you know, whether it was against Clubber Lang or Drago, by letting the guy just wail on him for the final half of a round.
Yeah.
And then he'd stand there and be like, you ain't so bad.
That's
and then
a great
they're going to be
like,
holy crap,
that is
he's not human.
Great hockey point.
So, you know, maybe the Stars just stand there and take their best shot. Be like, that didn't hurt. That's your best punch.
And, you know, unfortunately, guys, the refs are really watching the physicality in this series. We saw that last night with the Jamie Benn. I don't think he deserved a game misconduct. You know, heck, the guy punched him in the back of the head. If that happens and you're Jamie Benn and you get a game misconduct, you might as well drop the gloves and go at him.
Well, we'll let the storyline simmer a little bit, then maybe check back in with you tomorrow if you're available.
Yeah, let's do this, guys.
Okay.
I mean, we got to turn this thing around. This is for Dallas-Fort Worth, baby.
Yeah. Let's go. Yes, that's sports passion right there. From our program director and hockey expert, Gavin Spittle, we salute you, sir. Thank you again.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes.
The sun does not.
I'm resetting a Twitter here, Jeff, for crying out loud.
They didn't fire you up, Jeff?
It's just right now. Spittle. I was going to tell him that the sun doesn't shine forever, but yeah. As long as it's here, we might as well shine together. And for the stars, better now than never. Business before pleasure. Jamie Benn and the Stars, who you know do it better.
That boy got bars. That boy got bars.
Somebody screen capture that and put it on Twitter. Send it to the Stars.
It's P. Diddy.
Along with this Balboa stuff.
Notorious P.
Nah, let them look that up. Never tell.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, fair enough. Here we go, G-Bag Nation. We're coming up next to John Daniels. He's going to join us and talk about a massive offseason as they go into the final weekend of their season here in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Rangers going to wrap up the baseball season this weekend against the Houston Astros. A four-game series is about to get underway. It is time for the John Daniels Show right here on your home of the Rangers. A segment is brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss, and it's brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple and confidential phone call to Mark Rubin. Rubin and Associates at 1-800-LAWYERS. How disappointed are you guys that this season is not ending? We don't even have a chance to play in for the 8th seed. And does it say something more definitive about the struggles of this franchise right now?
I think the position that they're going to end in is pretty much on purpose. Like, you would rather be fighting for a playoff spot, but the last couple of weeks, it's been pretty clear. Get all the young guys out there, which that translates to don't win the baseball games. But yeah, I mean, I think this is them accidentally sort of hitting rock bottom, where they've done a decent job of being able to pluck a veteran that most of the teams didn't want. And he turns out to be a bargain that can play for you most days and be okay. And they've kind of strung it along like that. But I think this is where they finally sort of bottomed out. And it's even your star hasn't had a good season. And part of that's probably that, look, this is a really weird year. And so they've ended up in this spot, and, you know, we'll see what happens next year. They're obviously going to have work to do, and I've got a great idea of who we could ask about that work.
Yes, sir, indeed. John Daniels brought to you by City Center Fort Worth, the premier business address for office space in downtown Fort Worth. Find out more at citycenterfw.com. And Budweiser Nitro Gold, infused with nitro for a taste as smooth as silk. Good afternoon, John. How you doing?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good here. Let's talk about, you know, the going into this weekend without a chance of earning a playoff spot or even playing for one. How disappointed are you in the organization that that's the case here in this really unique season?
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, it's that reality settled in, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I mean, we were not mathematically eliminated, but the way we were playing and the hole we dug ourselves was – it was pretty clear we were not realistically in the mix. So we've kind of gone through that period of grief, for lack of a better term, and really trying to focus on wrapping up the year in a way where, you know, we could set the stage for some off-season progress for some of our players and getting ready for instructional league and, you know, trying to build on some of the good things that we have going on. And but what you just mentioned is obviously the reality, and it's not fun.
So we all know what the record is, and for some of us it means that the draft pick's going to be in the top two, it looks like, which is great. But that's not what you're worried about right now. So the lineup that you guys have been putting out there the last couple of days, I believe I saw John Blake say it was the youngest lineup of the year by average age. So out of all of these guys that we're getting to see pretty much every day now that maybe we wouldn't have under different circumstances, what are the positives that you can look to build on from some of these individual players that you might not have gotten to see play big league ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think first, from like a team standpoint, the style of play from a defense and base running standpoint has been much improved. Now it was quite frankly, it was a low bar. We didn't play well the first month or so. But we've actually put together, you know, one of the better defensive clubs in the game right now, objectively speaking. When you look at some of the metrics, I think we should win two gold gloves in right field and third base with Joey and Kiner. I think those guys are deserving. And I think that we look around, Mathis, Eli White in a short period of time are both very good. And then Leody Taveras, if he had played all year, he probably could have won a third gold glove on the team. So, we've got a number of guys that are plus, and that's been positive. On the pitching side, Kyle Cody, John King, both in bright spots. Colby Allard is he's struggled at times, but I believe there's a major league starter in there. And I think he does too. This kid's got a lot of good things going for him, and he's just 22 years old. And I think that is, to me, is one of the things that stands out. You mentioned the age. You know, Colby's 22, Sam Huff's 21 or 22, Leody Taveras, I think, is 22 years old. I mean, these guys are just scratching the surface, and in a lot of situations would be in double A or triple A, and yet they're competing and showing some signs, maybe not quite consistently enough yet, but definitely showing some signs of things that are, very positive going forward.
Hey, John, first off, I want to say, thanks for coming on and always being a pro with us. You know, I know it's a difficult thing, and, you are a pro's pro, and I appreciate you doing that every week. Congratulations on Nick Solak making the second-team all-rookie for Major League Baseball. And as you go forward with him, he looks like a guy you're going to have in the lineup every single day. Is he the position that he's going to play? Have you determined that yet? Is there going to be off-season, hey, let's focus him this way? Have you given some thought about that going forward?
Yeah, man, I think his two best spots to contribute on a regular basis are either going to be second base or left field. And a lot of it, as much as we would like to let him just settle in at one spot, I do think the versatility that he brings, and part of that is he's capable of playing both spots. I think bigger part of it is he's willing to play both spots, and he's not a guy that complains at all. He's got just outstanding makeup. That's going to be a lot dictated on what else we do, right? I think there's going to be some level of competition that will play into it. He's definitely got a spot on the club next year. I mean, I think we see him as an everyday player. But where, is Leody Taveras going to, break with us next year? Is Eli White going to break with us next year? Where is Ruggie? What position is Kiner playing? And some of the other dominoes involved. How far off do we think Josh Jung is? Those are all things that the dominoes of that will play into that. I think having Nick be able to play either spot is a real luxury for us. Ultimately, I think his best position is probably second base. I think he's gotten better there, even though he hasn't played there all year. But we're going to wait and see where we need him to play based on, who else is making a push for the club.
Yeah, I saw that Jung was dominating at the alternate side. Is he hitting .376 and something like 75 at-bats or something like that?
He's killed it down there, yeah. I mean, the numbers are a little deceptive because sometimes you got a coach playing, third base or left field. Mike Daly's out there a couple days and
hit it at him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want anybody to end up in traction. He swung it really well, man. I mean, he's grown a ton. And it was interesting. I'm sure you saw some of his quotes. Like, just he said it, and a number of other guys said it too. Like, I think a lot of us have been focused on, and myself included, on what the minor league players didn't get this year, right? They didn't get a full spring training. They didn't get their 140 games, their 150 innings, their 500 plate appearances that you would get if you played a full minor league season and that competition level. But what they did get was something different. They got to experience a lot of things in a major league environment. They got time with our best coaches and coordinators. They got extra one-on-one time with some of the data and tech tools that we have available that, if they were playing every day, they would still get some of it, but they'd have to prepare to compete, and they wouldn't have the time to do some of the individual work that they did. So that was encouraging to hear him say it. I think it speaks to his kind of general intelligence and maturity that he recognized that as well. But he was definitely a bright spot of the camp.
So with Joey Gallo this year, coming off his first All-Star appearance in 2019, I don't think he envisioned or you guys envisioned batting 175 and an on-base percentage under 300 for the season. What happened with Joey from your guys' perspective, and how can you kind of get it going back the way it was when he had positive momentum?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, for the first two, 3 weeks, he looked as though he was picking up right where he left off, around the All-Star break last year when he broke his hamate. Looked healthy. He was playing free and easy. He was one of the few bright spots in the lineup when we got out of the gate. And I'm not really sure exactly why, but he had a couple little small injuries, but I don't think that's really to blame. I think a little bit of just the year in general. I think, the team as a whole was not performing. The guys around him in the lineup were struggling. I think there was extra eyes on him, pressure, his name in the kind of trade rumors for the first time as a big leaguer. And, obviously he's struggled for a few weeks now. I do give him credit, though, because I think a lot of times guys, when they're struggling offensively, looking up at the board, and the numbers are not where they want them to be. It's easy to kind of hang your head, not run hard on the bases, not play hard defensively. And when you watch Joe, I mean, Joey's on a mission to win a Gold Glove. I mean, he is like making every throw he can possibly make. He is, flying around the outfield. He's playing about as well as we've had an outfielder play here in a long time. And so I give him credit for that offensively it's been a real struggle for, going on several weeks now, but defensively he's been one of the best in the league.
JD, it looks like you might have found your future closer, though, through all this with Jonathan Hernandez. Kind of talk about, you threw him in some, or, Woody threw him in some high leverage situations very early in this thing. And he's been nothing but spectacular for you guys every time he's gone out there. Talk about, the development he had and really what you see for him next year.
It's interesting you bring him up. We had a lengthy discussion about him today, just going forward. Best role for him? Is it, is it a closer? Is it kind of a higher leverage, kind of traditional fire or non-traditional kind of fireman type role, like, Milwaukee's used Josh Hader in, and there's still some support or thought that he could start. I mean, he's got three above average pitches, and, he basically went from like double A to the big leagues and never really had a chance to start. I do think talking to Jonathan, he enjoys the bullpen. Like, he likes that role. He likes to come in and just attack and go kind of full go for as long as the staff asks him to go. I don't know that we'd want to make him a closer and kind of limit him to 60 innings over the course of a full year, because I think he's better than that. And there might be some days where he pitches the ninth, but it might be a situation where we bring him in for, get out of a jam in the eighth and then finish the game. So I think he's kind of one of these guys. He's really mature. His dad is a pitching coach in the Dominican, and he's grown up around the game. And I think he gets it. And he's expressed he doesn't really care what inning he comes in or what the situation is. He wants to be used when it matters. And that's a pretty big luxury for Woody to have going into next year, to, be able to plug him in some of the bigger spots.
JD, my last question here. We really appreciate you joining us in this season, by the way. And I know there's a lot that goes into this one. But you were involved in, the COVID evaluation and all that. How are we doing from your perspective today on a normal season in 2021?
Wow, that's a huge question. From my perspective, I think we're in a pretty good spot at the major league level, given that we've demonstrated that we can handle it, right? I mean, I'm hopeful that the virus is in a more contained situation. I hope that, the various governments and agencies involved and really the public can put us in that position where, we can open up some and maybe have some additional freedom and travel and maybe play a more traditional schedule. When you start to talk about beyond that, where you're looking at, spring training and the number of bodies there in the minor leagues, I don't think we've gotten there yet as an industry, but I am hopeful. I'm optimistic because I've seen the level of diligence and care that, you know, that staff, players, medical teams, security, operations, logistics, et cetera, the league, everybody involved is willing to put into it. And, you know, a week into the season when Miami had their deal, and then, you know, 10 days later, you got St. Louis having their deal. And I don't think any of us really knew we were going to get to this point, right? And now can pretty comfortably say we're going to, you know, finish the 60-game season, and similarly comfortably, you know, predict that we'll finish out the postseason. And I think we've shown we can handle a lot of the challenges. It's just how big of a scale, you know, is 162 games plus, you know, the full minor league season. That's what I think we as an industry have got to get our arms around here this winter.
JD, if I could finish up, as we get ready for the playoffs, you face the Dodgers, the Padres, the A's, and now in Houston. How can you handicap them for us there? What you think? I mean, how you see that might be all playing out with those teams getting in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they're all really good. Of those four teams, you know, Houston probably is the one club that's been a little more banged up, and you know they're not quite where they. Stepping out of a limb saying that they're not quite where they were the previous 2-3 years.
Sure.
They're a good club, but they were a dominant elite team for, you know, really from like 16 through 19, and they're not quite at that level now. I see that, you know, I say that we're about to play them four games, so I'll probably get karma thrown back in my face, but the other three clubs are, I mean, they're really complete clubs. Oakland took a big blow with losing Chapman. Obviously, yeah, it sounds like San Diego's waiting on some news on Clevenger. Yeah, we're really impressed by all three. The Dodgers are a really complete athletic club, ton of pitching depth, ton of lineup depth. Oakland is, you know, a tremendous bullpen, and I think Luzardo is a, you know, interesting guy there because he's, you know, kind of a chance to really match up with any starter when he's right. His stuff is so good, and their defense and their bullpen are outstanding. Even without Chapman, I think they're still really good. And San Diego is interesting. I mean, know them well, know AJ well, and Ting well, and they were starting to play with a ton of confidence and energy, and then they got the injection at the trade deadline of some additional talent. You know, Tatis as good as anybody in the game. So, I mean, it's very interesting if those guys all, and, you know, they end up the Dodgers playing well, the Padres, you might have two of the three best teams in the same division.
Appreciate you as always, John. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you before too long, and thanks again for joining us this season.
All right, guys. Take care.
Salute. There he goes, John Daniels with us, Rangers GM on the Fan. It's time for the Joe Looney Show. What was it like for the players as they went down 20 and experienced a historic comeback? The big man, the starting center, joins us next here in the G-Bank Nation. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bank Nation, and it is time now for the Cowboys Player Show as Cowboys starting center Joe Looney joining us on your home of the Cowboys. And good afternoon, Joe.
What's going on, dudes?
Hey, how the heck are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm wonderful. I cannot complain.
Oh, that's what we love. How fun was it to be right in the middle of that comeback Sunday afternoon, though? Explain that experience from being right in the middle of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no adjective that, you know, I can use to describe it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, you look up at the scoreboard and you're down 20 points and we're looking at everybody on offense and you're like, hey, you know, we know what we got to do. We got to go out there one play at a time to get back in this game. And To see an onside kick, you know, to see one recovered, you know, I've never seen one recovered in my life, and to see one recovered, and then you step back on the field, and you're like, man, we about to do this thing, man. You know, you look at everybody, it's like, man, we got a shot. So it was unreal, man. And as I was running off the field, my 6-year-old daughter and 4-year-old son were there, and I mean, they were going crazy. And my sister was holding them up, my sister Evelyn, my mom, and they were just going crazy. And I was blowing them kisses. So it was just a great Sunday afternoon.
Now, Joe, go ahead.
No, when you stepped on the field when it was recovered, what was that feeling like? Were you guys sure you're going in? Were you hoping you're going in? I mean, Dak had been seriously cooking by that point.
Oh, yeah. You know, once we saw that we had the ball, we're like, man, we got to take this thing down here and, you know, get in field goal range. And credit to, you know, Coach McCarthy, man. We work on, you know, this stuff so much in practice, these situations. And just being in that moment and knowing, all right, you know, we've been here before. We've been here in practice before. Let's just go out there, do our job, and, you know, we'll come out of this thing with a win.
I'd also like to give credit to all the guys in Atlanta that stood around and watched that ball spin in circles while it worked its way toward them. Now, Joe, do you believe if you were one of them, could you recover an onside kick that's spinning like that?
Oh, I mean, the way Greg kicked that ball, it looked like a UFO. So naturally, you know, we're just all watching it. Everybody, you know, thank goodness CJ Goodwin's the only one still playing the football game and, you know, recovered the fumble because, I mean, that thing just, it spin. And then, you know, right at the last second when you think it's going to die, you know, it crosses 10 yards. So I was just sitting there. And I don't know if you guys saw, I watched the TV copy when I got home or just some highlights of it. And Xavier Woods was right there sitting there. And, I mean, his reaction said it all. It was just unbelievable. He had his hands on his helmet, you know, just looking at the ball. I was just like, yep, that explains it all.
That ball hypnotized everybody, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did. We got to ask Greg what he's doing to these footballs before the game.
Do you have good hands, though? Could you get down there and scoop that thing up if they called on you?
Oh, yeah, I think so. You know, there's an athlete in me somewhere. You know, along the way, I kind of found the refrigerator and started eating a little bit. But, you know, being a Florida boy, there's definitely an athlete in there. And coming from Florida, we always used to say, you know, your hands got to be up to date to the year. So my hands are up to date to 2020. I make sure of that.
But Joe, this is a chance, an opportunity. We get into week three, and now it's a trip to Seattle. And we always talk about Seattle and what a difficult place it is to play. You know, from a center standpoint, no crowd. Do you expect? You know, you do such a great job with communication with all you guys. Have you guys been working on stuff as far as maybe the piped in noise is going to be loud, or is it been okay? We can handle this because the crowd's not there.
Yeah, I think anytime you go on an away trip, you know, it's going to be tough in the NFL. Every team is good, especially when they play at home. But, yeah, we've been working on some, you know, piped-in noise on the speakers and whatnot. And I think we'll be ready to handle anything. You know, it can't be as loud as the crowd is.
Sure.
You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, it can't be as loud as that crowd was up there. So we worked on a little bit of the putting it on the speakers and making sure we had some crowd noise and whatnot. But, you know, I'm hoping we'd be able to deal with it, whatever the case is.
Joe, we, after every game, we like to watch the games and evaluate and talk about how all you guys have done. But I'd like to get from your perspective through two games an evaluation of how you've played and the offensive line as a whole.
Yeah, you know, early in the season, it's especially with no preseason games and no offseason, you know, you really realize how important the offseason is, the preseason is, and playing in preseason games to start meshing with each other. But I think we're doing a okay job right now. Definitely got a lot of work that we need to do. Yeah, I think we've done an okay job up to this point. We're still learning, you know, what each one of us does. And, you know, the offensive line is unique, as you guys know. It's the only group really on the field that's, you know, all five guys got to be on the same page or that thing is not clicking. And, you know, we're still doing a good job in practice working on that, you know, making sure we have some, you know, walkthroughs here and there. And I think Coach Philbin, our O-line coach, is doing a phenomenal job, him and Coach Blasco, making sure that, you know, we're all on the same page and going out there knowing what we're going to do.
Yeah, and Joe, and to kind of follow up on that, though, you know, you got some young guys playing tackle. You know, the communication been good with them. Those kids look like they've come in and done a pretty good job for you here, stepping in some big shoes.
Yeah, man, Brandon Knight and Terrence Steele have just done an amazing job, you know, to step into those roles, especially with, you know, Tyron and L, two great players that, you know, you're backing up. They've done a heck of a job, and you know, they just go out there, man, want to do their job and perform well. And, you know, that's all you can ask from a football player, man. Hey, go out there, have fun, do your job. And I think they're playing really well.
One of the things that's Joe Looney Show here with you on your home of the Cowboys. One of the things that's worked really well for you guys and Dak is that QB sneak once you're close into the end zone. What makes you guys so effective at that?
I mean, you know, first of all, you got Dak in the backfield, then you got Zeke behind him, and then, you know, you got Zach Martin to my right, and you got these guys that have just done it so much. You just, hey, you need a yard. We all know what we have to do. It's that mindset of, you know, you're not going to be denied getting that 1 yard to score a touchdown. And especially when you got these guys that have done it over and over and over again, you know, it's like muscle memory to them. You know, they get behind the wave and ride it into the end zone.
Now, Joe, are you more of a veteran that guys are looking to for answers now compared to 2018? What's your experience this time around compared to your previous stint as Cowboys starter?
Yeah, so you know it's been really cool, man. You know, we got Tyler Biadasz, the center here that we drafted, and he's been great, man. We've both been going back and forth and picking each other's brains, and you know I'm kind of teaching him the ropes and whatnot. And I tell you what, man, he's going to be a heck of a player. And, you know, just asking me, you know, hey, what do you think we should do on this look? And what do you think about this step? And we sit there and talk about it. And, you know, it's nice to be able to teach the game to someone else, too.
Did you guys say anything to Dak when he went into the concussion tent and then ran right back on the field and lowered his head to run the ball in?
I tell you what, man, it was some words I can't say right now while we're live. But, you know, man, he's tough, man. This man is such a competitor. If you guys have been around Dak, you know, whatever he's doing, you know, if it's just playing a pickup football game, you know, pickup basketball game, he wants to win. And to have someone like that on your team, I mean, you can't ask for anything better, you know.
Now, speaking of Prescott, last week was your debut here on the Joe Looney Show with us, and a lot of our response and texters and tweeters said you sound a lot like Dak. Have you heard that before?
No, I haven't heard that before. You know, maybe we're, you know, some long-lost cousins up in there somewhere. I still got a head full of hair, though. Don't tell them I said that.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks again, man. Best of luck to you guys up in Seattle. I suppose we look forward to talking to you next Thursday, same time, same place.
Let's do it, man. I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a blessed evening.
Yes, sir. You too. There he goes, the great Joe Looney here with us. Thursdays at 4:40 on your home of the Cowboys. He can just roll with so much fun stuff, so much fun conversation. So we're looking forward to continuing that. All right, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, we are into the 5 o'clock hour, and why the Cowboys will probably have to stage another comeback to win on Sunday. I'll tell you where I'm going with that coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.